For those of you just joining us, Campfire Editions are when we take a quick look at some pressing legal and political issues that are just outside the official bounds of our constitutional and civic education podcast, The Civic Flame. And boy, do I wish politics would calm down enough that I didn't need to send out these bonus episodes. But today, there's something massive coming up, and I want to talk about it and help you with some talking points in case you find yourselves in a discussion on the matter. And this week, we're going to be talking about SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps. As you may have heard, with the congressional shutdown still going on in its 30th day as of the time of this recording, one of the biggest issues is funding. To understand more about Congress's money powers, check out our episode from earlier this week on Article 1, Sections 7 and 8. For now, let's get into SNAP. For those of you who don't know, SNAP is commonly known as food stamps. Approximately 1 in every 8 Americans uses some form of SNAP benefit to cover the groceries. A majority of SNAP users are children, the elderly, and the disabled. And a lot of SNAP users have jobs. Actually, the biggest beneficiaries for SNAP are companies like Amazon, Walmart, and the United States military, who underpay their employees so much that a lot of them use SNAP and other public health resources to make ends meet. Now, I personally think even if you don't have a job, you should get to have some food. So to me, the fact that so many SNAP users have jobs is more of an indictment of our economic system than it is a reason why people should have SNAP benefits. I think that everybody should have food. But in case you're arguing with somebody who thinks you should only get food if you have a job, most of the people on this program have jobs. And you can check out the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, cbpp.org, a nonpartisan research and policy institute, for more on this. I recommend them because while I was looking this up on the government websites, the message I got was, in all bold at the top of the page, "Due to the radical left Democrat shutdown, this government website will not be updated during the funding lapse." Hopefully, by the end of this episode, you'll know why and how to tell this is fundamentally untrue. And as I said in another episode, likely a violation of the Hatch Act, which forbids politicking by federal agencies in this manner, though there appear to be no consequences for this administration or its associates. But for the record, the Hatch Act of 1939 is an act to prevent pernicious political activities. It is, quote, a United States federal law that prohibits civil service employees in the executive branch of the federal government, except the president and vice president, from engaging in some form of political activity. It also forbids them from engaging in political activity during the time they are working and when they are representing any of the government agencies that they run. So this is a very clear problem, but since the law is not self-enforcing, nothing is going to happen about it. So we'll go move on to our bigger problem at hand. So not only is blaming Democrats untrue, but the manner in which it is done might be illegal. The shutdown happens when Congress can't agree on a funding package. Remember that each bill must pass both houses of Congress identically before it goes to the president's desk to be signed into law. Well, the Senate has a majority, 53-47 Republicans, and the House has a Republican majority, 220-213. For the few days I was on TikTok, I got trolls coming in and telling me that Republicans didn't control all three branches of government, which to me showed that these were bots deliberately targeting any post on Republican responsibility, because I only had 7 followers, and there was no way the algorithm just randomly selected me to these people. For more on that, see my previous 3-part series on cybersecurity and how 40-60% of the people you talk to online might be fake. Anyway, Republicans control both houses of Congress, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. So this one's on them. And they control many of the state governments as well. And the process here means that until they agree, the government will remain shut down and Congress will continue to get paid. The Senate at least is still working. It's unclear what, if anything, the House of Representatives is up to. So since they can't agree, in particular, Senate Democrats won't agree to cut Medicare and Medicaid anymore, the government remains in a stalemate. So far, the longest government shutdown was during the first Trump administration, 2018-2019, and lasted 35 days. Today is day 30 of the current shutdown. so we'll see what we can see. If I seem a little more steamed than usual about this, it's because SNAP benefits are deeply personal to me. Growing up, I was a welfare kid, and there were times when the food stamps ran out, and that I was so hungry, I couldn't read. The words on the page were too fuzzy for me to see. The teachers called me stupid and thought that I just didn't know how to read, but I remember staring at my geography book and all I could see was squiggles because I just hadn't eaten. I resorted to stealing. I certainly shoplifted food to help me eat, but also sometimes for my sister who was younger than I was. And so as a former kid who went hungry, not too much gets me as upset as kids going hungry. And especially kids going hungry because wealthy elites are using them as political pawns. My heart and prayers go out to everyone dealing with this, and my hatred goes out to everyone causing it. And I'll be working with organizations locally to get food to those who need it. I recommend that you take a look in your area. Most public libraries, many schools, many town halls, these areas will have boxes to donate food. There are also programs like local food banks, like Salvation Armies, and things like that that can be really useful. There are also some restaurants that are engaged in sort of pro bono activity in this way. And so to stabilize in the meantime, there are some options. But we have a government, so we don't have to rely on the goodwill of other people to make sure we don't fall through the cracks and starve to death, right? What's the point of the government if it doesn't make sure everybody's got food that isn't going to kill us? But here are some other things I'm worried about on a bigger level. This is happening during the Thanksgiving month. This means that a lot of poor kids are going to be shamed at an extra level in schools around the country as they celebrate Thanksgiving and go home to not having enough food on the table. I want you to really consider the shame that parents feel when they work hard and they come home and they cannot provide for their children, not for any character flaw, not for anything they've done, but simply because the system has continued to be stacked against them over and over and over again. It should be a crime to make hardworking parents feel this shamed in front of their children, and it should be a crime to make children have to see it. In John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, he has a whole commentary on, it's one of the later chapters in the 20s, on all of the oranges that are getting burnt in front of the starving children because, you know, we have to go sell the oranges. Why would we give them away if we can make 50 cents? If that child has to die, then they do. And he says, there is a crime here that goes beyond denunciation. There is a failure here that topples all of our successes. And I may be getting the quote not entirely right because I didn't write it down and I'm not looking at my book, but he's right. You know, when we can't and won't, because we can't is the wrong word. When we won't provide for our own people, what are we doing as a group? It is a really distressing moment when you think about what these families are going to have to go through. And if, you know, starving children isn't something you care about, that's fine. Let's pull back to the economic issue, right? It's not fine, but let's pull back to the economic issue because there are a lot of economic issues. Spending between Thanksgiving and Christmas is how a lot of businesses offset any loss from the other three quarters of the fiscal year. If people can't buy food or are spending the Christmas budget on dinner, then we have an economic issue. If those companies feel like they can't keep up, people are going to lose their jobs and we're going to have a bigger economic issue. And throughout all of this, we're going to have people who are hungry and angry. And let's go to the bigger level, medicine. If people don't have food stamps, even more of them than already do are going to have to choose between food and medicine. As it gets colder out, they're also going to have to choose between food and shelter and heat and medicine. We know that people will die because of this. This is not an exaggeration. I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat. Go to the podcast Behind the Bastards and check out the episode on diabetes and insulin. That's fun. But this is a real human catastrophe. And I urge you very strongly to reach out to your member of Congress, to reach out to your local and state government. Ask them what their plans are, right? You know, maybe we can't demand that they do something, but ask them what they plan and then shame the heck out of them if their plan is to sit around and twiddle their thumbs and go enjoy their Thanksgiving dinner while American children go hungry, because that is just wholly unacceptable to me. And so it's something that we'll keep an eye on But even if the government gets up and going, it's not clear whether those checks will go out fast enough to cover people for what they need, or how much debt people will put themselves in the meantime, and how much time it will take them to get over that debt, even when the money starts flowing, in order to stabilize. Now that I've thoroughly bummed you out, I do hope that you have a good Halloween. I do hope that you have good food on your table. I do hope that you have a safe roof over your head. I do hope that you are warm and cozy. And I do hope that you find ways to help other people make sure that they have it too. Campfire edition of The Civic Flame was brought to you by Dr. Fun Sponge Media in partnership with writer and creator Amber Bayo and sound producer Matthew Munyon. As always, thanks for listening.